Good morning to you all. It's a pleasure and a delight to be here with you at the feast, be able to accompany Mr. Armstrong as he comes to visit St. Petersburg. We're the largest site, I guess you know that, and I understand there are people in two other rooms as well that are overflow from this room and being televised, and it's quite a pleasure to be able to be here and be part of the feast in this area. Just over a week ago, President Anwar Sadat of Egypt was assassinated. He was murdered, really, in a display that is typical of our world of hate, of treachery, and of violence. Throughout the world now, the leaders are very concerned about what's going to happen as a result of that murder. What will take place now? Because President Sadat was considered a man of peace. He became involved in the Camp David peace talks. And President Reagan and others are wondering what will happen to those Camp David peace talks. Will they be continued? Will they not? What will happen to Middle East stability, which is frail at any time and seems more frail now than ever before? What are the Russians thinking? What are the rest of the Arab world thinking? What are the Libyans thinking? What are the Israelis thinking? This was summed up by a woman in Israel who said, without Sadat, there will be no peace. We're here at the Feast of Tabernacles. And that Feast of Tabernacles pictures a time of peace, a time of quiet, a time of rest. It's called all those things. Where does peace come from? Mr. Neff, on the first holy day in Pasadena, Mr. Leroy Neff, the treasurer for the church, gave an outstanding sermon, just a presentation of the word peace and the understanding of peace from God's word. Very inspiring presentation. And he showed very clearly that peace does not come from men. And all now we're depending on, as is this woman in Jerusalem, was depending on Sadat for peace. But Sadat can't bring peace. All the men and all the conferences and all the flying about and all the shuttle diplomacy haven't brought peace. We've got 6,000 years to prove that. A history of war and fighting and bickering and tension and stress and preparing for war and recovering from war. Peace doesn't come from men. Peace comes from God. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. Most of us associate Leviticus 26 with the last part of the words there. He says in Leviticus 26, speaking to Israel, as he called them out and made them his people and began to teach them, he said, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary on the Lord. And if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, and then he mentioned several things that will take place. And of course, these were all physical promises to Israel. But notice verse 6. He says, and I will give peace in the land. God can grant peace. And I will give peace in the land and make you, and you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. You know, peace isn't just freedom from war. Peace is also freedom from fear. Freedom from accusation and tension and hostilities. Freedom from wrath and anger and all the fruits of the spirit of this world. He says, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through the land. And he talks about the peace that he would bring. God, during the time of Solomon, because David was a man of war, David wanted to build a temple, and God said to David, you won't build it. You're a man of war. But I'll bring your son who will be a man of rest, and I'll give him peace. And there was peace from Almighty God all the days of Solomon, 40 years, when that temple was building. Notice in Isaiah chapter 9, which has probably been read to you at the feast, and probably will be again, peace comes from Christ. Peace comes from God. He says in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He was to come as a governor and a ruler, and it would be his responsibility. and his name shall be called Wonderful. Have you ever heard of a government called Wonderful? I've lived in many countries under many governments, and not one of them is called Wonderful by anybody. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He can bring peace, and nobody else can. And notice this, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Where Christ governs, there is peace. And as his government increases, so does peace. In Pasadena, after a long difficulty and many problems, we have been blessed by Almighty God to have peace. Peace comes from God. You saw a taste of it last night in the Young Ambassadors film. That was broadcast here, and it was a joy to be able to see it with you all and have you sing along and participate. That was really pleasant. Made it extra special to be able to share it. That was a taste of it. One man told me last night, he said, last year's film was entertainment. This year's was inspiration. It was inspiring to be able to participate in and be a part of. God's blessed us with peace, and you witnessed a little bit of the peace God has granted. It wasn't that way 3 years ago. The church was off the track. And when it's off the track, it's not under the government of God. It's following some other precepts, some other principles. And then Christ, Jesus Christ, the head of his church, moved to begin to put his church back on the track. And Mr. Armstrong, as Christ's apostle and the one responsible to administer the government of God in this time, began to say, now this is back on the track. Now the plain truth, now the good news, or whatever it was, and various things were put back on the track. And the result of that was peace. Suddenly in Pasadena, amazingly, Mr. Armstrong was saying, it's just amazing how everybody all of a sudden seems to be in the right job. That's a gift from God, because he places the members in the body as it pleases him. The Council of Elders seem to be the right men. The men working in media, in plain truth, in putting together the various publications that we have and we're blessed to be able to enjoy. The men in the colleges who are working the colleges and the overseas offices, we've been granted peace from Almighty God because we're under the government of God. And of the increase of his government, when it increases, so does peace. They go together. Look at Isaiah 32, please. The 32nd chapter of Isaiah. Because as you know, in keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, this peace is going to be granted to the whole world. And notice what he says in Isaiah 32 and verse 15. He mentions the troubles of this world, and he says, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. God's Spirit has been shut up for mankind since Adam made that fateful mistake in the Garden of Eden. But there's coming a time, and it's pictured by this feast we're enjoying, where the Spirit will be poured out. And look at the result of that. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness. Godly judgment that knows what to do under the government of God. And righteousness shall remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Quiet peace. People dwelling together, cooperating, working together. Not hostile, not accusative, not shouting. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That's why that 1,000 years is also called a rest. Because the peace that'll be there. Take a look at Isaiah 54, please. The 54th chapter of the book of Isaiah. As you know, large portions of Isaiah are dedicated telling us about the world tomorrow. From Isaiah 40 on, many prophecies deal about it. And many of the prophecies that'll be read to you during the feast will be from the book of Isaiah. He says in Isaiah 54 and verse 9, where he begins to promise the church and Israel peace. And he says, "For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth," and God's promised that, and that's an absolute sure thing, "so have I sworn that I will not be wroth with you nor rebuke you. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed," these other governments, "but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed." He has promised he's bringing peace, says the Lord that has mercy on you. And then he says to us, "O you afflicted, tossed with the tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and your foundations with sapphires. And I will make your windows of agates and your gates of carbuncles and all your borders pleasant stone." Just beauty he's going to give. "And all your children shall be taught of the Lord." Our children, our descendants, on down the generations will be taught God's way. Won't be cut off from them. They won't be hostile to it. They'll be taught God's way. "And great shall be the peace of your children." People always want their children's lives to be better than theirs. God promises that he will give peace to our children. "In righteousness shall you be established, and you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and far from terror, for it shall not come near you." Notice verse 17, a promise to God's people, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is not theirs." It's not your righteousness, "but their righteousness is of me, says the Lord." The Feast of Tabernacles is a feast of peace, of keeping peace for this whole earth. And we have a little sampling of it now among ourselves. When the whole earth, the entire worldwide nations and peoples, are each one under the government of God. And as that government increases, so does God's gift of peace.